When people ask me what I do, if it's in a taxi, I might just say I work in the NHS. And then I might get the response, "Are you a nurse, love?" That's happened to me a few times. Once said I was a brain surgeon, and then the man said, "Oh, I'm seeing somebody, I'm under so-and-so at this particular hospital." So I've never lied since, because obviously lies have short legs, and that was a really stupid thing to do.
There's something about you're in a place of trust. Hi, James, are you all right? And I'm talking into a microphone, it looks quite strange. I'm doing a project on empathy, bizarrely, I know. Finance directors don't have empathy.
I had two parents who were sick when I was quite young, so I think that might have dictated me coming into the NHS. I think most people have some kind of story. Did an economics degree and wanted to do public service. And I wanted to join trade unions, actually, but it was at a time when union membership was declining. So I don't know if you remember, it was kind of sort of in Thatcher years.
Morning. So I'm always interested in how we book people and whether we're booking at... You know, so some hospitals book everybody to come in at 9 o'clock. Well, how annoying is that if you're a patient? So my own experience would say that's really annoying.
I often think about what would have happened to my mum who had a stroke more than 20 years ago now and lived quite a long time after it, but didn't live very well. So you kind of think about healthcare has changed. And definitely having a kid colours how you think about things. You know, I went to vote this morning and I took her with me because it's really changed my thought on voting, and I was like, women have died for this. You know, you've got to come and have a look at it. She's six, I don't think she quite got it, but you know. Okay, so my name is Caroline Clark. I'm the Chief Finance Officer and Deputy Chief Executive at the Royal Free in North London. And we are currently sitting in my office on the second floor of the Royal Free Hospital in Hampstead, which is one of the three hospitals that we operate. Got some nice pictures on the wall. This is an old Achette, L'Hôpital. It's from a kid's drawing book, and it's how you learn to speak English, actually. I think it was French originally. But look, it's 1950s hospital, so they're not bare below the elbows. She looks like she's got a bottle of red wine. I think there's probably someone that's nipped off for a fag round the side, so it's my ironic take on 1950s hospitals. I didn't really want to be an accountant. I thought accountants were a bit dull. Bean counters. I didn't really know any accountants. The ones I did know were just kind of grey and largely blokey. But I didn't want to be a general manager either. I thought that I needed a profession. And had I been more practical, I might have done plumbing, but I'm not very practical. And so I did finance. And then the graduate scheme kind of promotes you through the NHS. So I've done kind of every sort of job in the NHS. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, I took a couple of years out and went to work for KPMG, one of the big accounting firms, and kind of learnt what it was like in the commercial sector, which it turns out is very interesting. And the dark side, as people on my side of the fence call it, is actually full of really nice people who have similar values and are just working with a slightly different profit motive. And it's very different. It's different. If you're working in an organisation where the main determining feature of your success is money, it's much easier. In this world, it's saving lives.
When you come into the hospital, you might need transport to get you home, so you would come and wait in our discharge lounge, which is here, nice and empty, but actually, right early in the morning, you'd want that to have a few people in it, because what it means is we're probably not discharging people from the hospital early enough, so you always want to see people in there, so there's kind of a flow through. Hello.
One of the reasons why I work in a hospital rather than in kind of the planning bit of the NHS, so NHS England or these clinical commissioning groups, is because I think you need to stay close to patients. You know, people like me must spend time on the wards. So we are all compelled to go out on the wards and see staff and patients and talk to them.
I got the patient as well.
Good, you got the patient. Oh, are you feeling brave?
I'm feeling, yeah, she's feeling brave.
Are you brave? Is she
brave? She's brave, yeah.
How old are you? Four. Okay, so stand there on the right-hand side, yeah?
Right-hand side,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. See, good luck. Have fun.
You know, we talked a bit about my parents. Actually, I've been a patient a number of times, and I have MS, so I'm treated in a different hospital. Diagnosed while I was working in this job by colleagues, which was quite difficult for them, I think. They did it really nicely and really elegantly, and I had to make a decision about whether to speak about it or not. I still struggle a bit with that because I'm in a leadership role and people need to see me being strong and resilient and making good decisions. And MS is a disease which affects your brain as well as your physical health. So I took a decision to be really open about it because people need to see and make up their own mind, really. as it happens, I'm quite well with it, but, you know, who knows what the future brings. But I'm being treated in another hospital because at least I can be a patient there. One of the things that we do in the NHS is we provide people with long-term conditions with clinical nurse specialists. So you don't always go and see a doctor, but if there's something wrong, you can ring up someone who's very, very experienced in looking after people with your conditions. And it turns out that that is a really, really important thing to have if you're a patient. You know, it hasn't happened to me particularly yet, but I know that if I have a new symptom, I can ring this person up and say, this thing's happened and I don't know what to do about it. And I know that she'd have the answer or she'd put me in touch with somebody. And that is fantastic. Like all hospitals, we have to reduce our costs. And there are fairly conventional ways of reducing your costs in hospitals. And, you know, some of it is about reducing waste and, you know, making sure that we don't do things twice. And some of it is about redesigning people's roles so that less expensive people do more. It's kind of the sort of slightly facile way of describing it. And one of the things you often see on people's kind of cost-cutting lists, because you have a list, is clinical nurse specialists. And I've seen this quite a few times in my career. And the reason why clinical nurse specialists are often seen as a kind of target area to cut costs is because, of course, they don't see patients in a conventional manner where the patient, you get paid for it. So every time you come into a hospital, you generally get paid for the thing that you do to a patient. It's called the system called payment by results. And the clinical commissioning groups, our commissioners pay us for the treatments. But when you ring up a clinical nurse specialist, of course, that's just a phone call, a chat. You don't get paid for that. So their costs kind of get covered by everything else. So they're almost seen like an overhead. That is a problem. And I think my personal experience has definitely made me see that quite differently. And we've got loads of clinical nurse specialists here. And I'm sure there's stuff we can do differently and we can improve the patient experience and make it more efficient. But my view of them is definitely different. And I'm sure it's the same for everyone. And it's why you've got to have really diverse groups of people making decisions. So, you know, around the board table, you need groups of clinicians, you need one or two people like me, but you need, you know, a diversity of thought.
So let's go down some stairs here, and I'm always interested in space, aren't I? And have we got enough space? Are there empty offices that we can recycle? You'll see that the infrastructure here isn't as good. So this isn't clinical space, this is the medical school. They haven't modernised, so this is pretty much original 1970s.
Now, you could argue that every period in the NHS's history has been difficult, but I think this one is quite unique. So it's got a number of features that are very difficult at the moment. So the money just is... There may be enough money, but not for this particular set of services. You cannot have universal healthcare for everybody at the quality that we want it, at the money that we're willing to pay. I absolutely accept that the NHS can get more efficient, and part of my job is to make it more efficient. But I can tell you now that my hospital here is one of the most efficient trusts in the country by every kind of measure that you use. And yet we have a deficit, so our costs are greater than our income by about 5%. I had a deficit once in 2005-06, and we turned that around and it was okay. But it was hard, but we did it. But it hasn't happened since, and I feel terrible about it. I feel, you know, so it's... I'm not as anxious as I was when I was 20 or 30, but that really does keep me awake at night. And I know that in the longer term, I have a range of solutions that can solve it. And we've got a great clinical workforce here. And I'm pretty sure that over the next 5 years, our plans will get us back to where we need to be. But it's going to take much longer than an electoral cycle. So will the politicians kind of give us the time and space? We've had a few conversations with politicians who, of course, are having by necessity to work on an electoral cycle. And they're saying, well, why can't you get to scale really quickly? Why can't you take 10 hospitals over kind of tomorrow? And I'm like, well, we took two over 2 years ago and it's really hard and we're really trying to make it work. And we said it would take us 5 years to get them back into a financial position that worked. And so these things do take a long time. We're living through exactly this conundrum of, you know, fix it now versus the long term.
I speak to quite a lot of people who are coming out of university and thinking about coming into the NHS. People are generally attracted to it because they have a values base and they've thought about it quite deeply. Possibly they've got parents who are involved in health services, or possibly they've had illness, or they've been touched by it. And they're kind of slightly more profound conversation than the one with a 21-year-old that just wants to be an accountant and want to make money. It's a bit dull, you know? So there is something about the value space. Isn't it embarrassing? I'm out of breath. That's age.
The day that you stop being frustrated or stop thinking you can improve, it's probably the day to retire. As long as we still all burn slightly with that kind of irritation, that's good.